the 24th marks the feast of the birth of St. John the Baptist, a key biblical figure whose mission was to announce the coming of Jesus the Messiah. The Gospel tells how John preached in the Jordan Valley and urged his hearers to repent and be baptized, and in due course he came to baptize Jesus. John was executed by King Herod somewhere between AD 26 and 31 after publicly criticizing his second wife, Herodias. These are the bare bones of John the Baptist's life. But let's try to flesh out the details of this saint and find out more about his preaching and why he has always been so revered. Monsignor Paul Tai is the secretary at the Pontifical Council for Social Communications.
John the Baptist, I suppose, in many ways is the last of the great figures of the Old Testament. And yet he's there right at the beginning of the New Testament. So he's this kind of crucial figure in terms of the transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament. One of the great German theologians, Bornkamm, described him as a sentinel standing at the frontier between two aeons. And the other thing about him, I think, as a figure is he's an extraordinarily attractive figure. There's something very strange. He's a figure that has appealed to artists, has appealed to musicians, as a figure who captures the imagination. But in capturing the imagination of people, even in his own time, probably capturing their imagination with the strangeness of dress, with the exaggerated nature of his lifestyle, he always sought not that attention for himself, but to direct them and lead them towards Christ. So he's the last of the great figures, the great Old Testament prophets, pointing, leading us towards the Messiah.
And you said, you know, his interesting lifestyle. I mean, he was very austere, and this austere solitary life in the desert. I mean, he's very much could be seen as a monk.
In many ways would be seen as a kind of a precursor of a monk, the man who went out to the desert. The desert for the Jewish people would have been that area where there was barren. It was the place where there was no life. It's the place where, if you went, you had to depend completely and totally on God. And that, in a sense, is John the Baptist. He's the one who entrusts himself completely to his Lord. And that, again, is part of that type of figure will always appeal, I think, to people. The person who reminds them of something else. Not that all of us are going to make these radical choices, abandon our everyday lives, go off and do something extraordinary, heroic or different. But the fact that there are some who do that helps us to kind of maybe keep a perspective on our own existence and stop absolutizing the everyday, important in all as it is.
He's also been described as an anti-establishment figure. I mean, he hated hypocrisy, he warned of divine punishment for sinners, and he also, of course, didn't flinch at speaking out against people in high places, and that outspokenness cost him his life, didn't it?
Yeah, again, it's the figure of the prophet. The very strong prophet who fears nothing, who speaks the truth as he sees it and has no difficulty in facing the consequences of that. I think an image that I've been reading about and I think is nice is that John the Baptist was really one of the great figures of judgment. He pronounced judgment. In particular, he called people to repentance, to recognition of their own failings and weaknesses, whereas Christ himself is more the figure of salvation. John the Baptist tells us where it's all gone dreadfully wrong, why we've all made mistakes, why it's all collapsing about us. Jesus then offers us the way out of that. He offers us the salvation, the possibility of being saved in the midst of that. So therefore, people would be very keen on trying to see John the Baptist not simply as a figure in himself, but always must be understood in relationship to Jesus. So without the message of Jesus, the salvation, the hope, the possibility of redemption, the preaching, the teaching of John the Baptist could be something perceived as very negative. In fact, the great German theologian Bonhoeffer used to talk about there was a choice in life. We could either despair or we could turn to Christ. And maybe if we'd been left alone with the message of John the Baptist, it might have been more towards a kind of a sense of being judged and being without hope. But his message was always to bring people to a realization of their need for Christ and for the salvation that Christ would offer.
And we see from the Bible, don't we, that Jesus thought very highly of John.
Jesus, very highly of John, and Jesus in many ways positioned his ministry as a response to some of the work of John. Jesus himself also picked up the message of repentance, repent and believe the good news. And this sense, I think people would say that John is a figure of continuing relevance. Even though he may be seen as an Old Testament figure in some ways theologically, many people would interpret him as a great figure, particularly for those who minister in the name of the church and for the church itself in its own ministry, that we must call people to a recognition where there is failing, where there is weakness, where there is a lack of hope and trust in people's lives, but not just hold them there, not just leave them there without a response, but to bring them to the fullness of Jesus. Again, often people would say is that the minister, the priest, the preacher, in a sense, relies on his or her own personality to bring somebody, to attract somebody. But again, that's not just to hold them. It's not for ourselves. It's to lead them to Christ.
How ancient is his cult, as far as we know?
It's one of the very oldest. I was reading again. It seems that in Constantinople, at the earliest Christian times, there was something like 15 different churches dedicated to John the Baptist.
I was talking to Monsignor Paul Tai, secretary at the Pontifical Council for Social Communications.